Amazing to be here. And as many of us know, and as was mentioned earlier, we have been doing a series on the Sermon on the Mount since January. We have been walking through each section each week, seeing the amazing foundational, profound truths that Jesus teaches us. And as Jeff mentioned, for the closing of our series, which is this week and next week, we wanted to do something besides just moving on from this series to the next one, to really be able to process it, to be able to think about it, reflect, meditate, and to be able to really get all there is that God wants to show us through what we're doing. And so what we're going to be doing today is something a little bit different. There is not going to be a traditional 30-minute or whatever sermon by one person. What we're going to be doing is we're going to have three people read the Sermon on the Mount, one for chapter 5, one for chapter 6, one for chapter 7. We are going to hear the Sermon on the Mount in its entirety. And so we can really hear from start to finish, right, the genius, the brilliance, the inspired Word of God. And after that, we are going to hear from four people about their takeaways from the Sermon on the Mount. So things that have really struck them, maybe things that have inspired them to implement, to make changes, whatever. We're going to hear from them as a way of maybe we're going to hear some things that we resonate with that maybe we haven't thought about before, but then also giving us an opportunity to do that ourselves. And so during the time of communion, after those times of sharing, we're going to have a time of silent reflection, to be able to just think, and God, what do you want me to take away? It's probably a lot of things, right? All the amazing things. And so without any further ado, I'm going to call up Michael Walker to start out the Sermon on the Mount for us.
Amen. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. So Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. For anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and then remember your brother and sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on your way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you, anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear on an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You have heard it said, eye for an eye, and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they also have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then that light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious about saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Refuse to be a critic full of bias towards others, and you will not be judged, for you'll be judged by the same standard you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on a flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws in your own? How could you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypocritical and a hypocrite. First, acknowledge and deal with your own blind spots. Then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spot of your friend. Who would hang expensive earrings on a dog's ear or throw pearls to wild pigs, only trample them under their feet and then turn around and tear you to pieces? Ask, and the gift is yours. Seek, and you'll discover. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. For every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Do you know of any parent who would give his hungry child who asks for food a plate of rocks instead? Or when he asks for a piece of fish, what parent would offer his child a snake instead? If you, imperfect as you are, know how to lovingly take care of your children and give them what's best, how much more ready is your heavenly Father to give wonderful gifts to those who ask him? In everything you do, be careful to treat others in the same way you'd want them to treat you. For that is the essence of all the teachings of the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, because the wide gate and broad path is the way that leads to destruction. Nearly everyone chooses that crowded road. The narrow gate and the difficult way leads to eternal life, so few even find it. Constantly be on your guard against phony prophets. They come disguised as lambs, appearing to be genuine, but on the inside they are like wild, ravenous wolves. You can spot them by their actions, for the fruits of their character will be obvious. You won't find sweet grapes hanging on a thorn bush, and you'll never pick good fruit from a tumbleweed. So if the tree is good, it will produce good fruit. But if the tree is bad, it will bear only rotten fruit and deserves to be cut down and burned. You'll know them by their obvious fruit of their lives and their ministries. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only those who persist in doing the will of my heavenly Father. On the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, don't you remember us? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles in your name? But I will have to say to them, go away from me, you lawless rebels. I've never been joined to you. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the flood came and the fierce winds beat upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and doesn't apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained and rained and the flood came and the wind and waves beat upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away. By the time Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were awestruck by his teaching because his words carried such great authority, quite unlike the religious scholars.
Hello, my name is Zachary Motovu, and this is my amazing wife, Emma Motovu, and we're here to share some of our convictions and the things that we took from this Sermon on the Mount series, and Sermon on the Mount series. And before we do that, right, I want to take some time to recognize the brothers that contributed and really gave us this series. So let's give them a round of applause and recognize, because it took a lot of work, right? It took a lot of work, a lot of effort to make this series possible. I mean, starting from January. And but I took two things from this series personally, real quick. One, that no matter where you're going, no matter what you're doing, no matter how your life is going right now, God is speaking to us individually, right? Because the sermon, I mean, it's not the first time that we've read it. It's not the first time that we've seen these words. But in that lesson, right, I got so many different nuggets, different pieces of information that obviously I'd seen the words before, but it spoke to me different at this point in my life than it did the last time I saw it. And so, you know, that was lesson number one. Lesson number two was in Matthew 7, where it talks about do not judge. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've been around the kingdom for 23 years now. And it's easy when you're in this situation with your walk with God to look at other people and say, hey, why aren't you getting it? Why aren't you doing the things that you're supposed to be doing? And of course, you know, God says that that's not how you ought to treat, you know, others. And, you know, as for me, I take it personally in the sense that, you know, God is talking to me that I shouldn't treat my wife or my kids with judgment. You know, my job is to love them where they are and encourage them to see God in the best way that they can.
Thanks, Zach. Hello, family. Hello, friends. And so for me, I focused on, well, there were so many nuggets, so many interesting and important, impactful messages. What stood out to me was the one on focus, where Kendall Knight focused on being kingdom-minded or kingdom-focused or being half-minded. At the time, I was in the middle of a very active job search. And of course, the first month is like a vacation. It's nice and smooth, sailing, no problem. I'll apply here and there, so on and so forth. Month two, no problem. Month three, maybe something's up. And so I found myself worrying about unnecessary things. I found myself trying to figure out how long it will take. Will it be tomorrow? Will this application be the one? But that particular message spoke with me because it made me realize how important it is to not worry and really to seek his kingdom first. And so instead of worrying, my husband and I were fasting and praying. There was opportunity to see other things that were available outside of just being consumed with searching for a job. And so being kingdom-minded is without a doubt the area, the focus, and half-minded, as was shared, it divides your mind and it keeps you from what's important. And sometimes that's how you show up, worried. It's all over your face and people can see that. And you're not your best self. And so for me, that really stood out to me. And being focusing on the kingdom is really what mattered. And really that resonated with me strongly during that time because I was in that very active search. And God has moved powerfully. And so I'm so grateful for the series and all the messages and nuggets. And thank you for having us here today.
Hello, my name is Jacqueline, and if I had to put it into one word as far as what I got away from this series is the need to re-engage. The sermon, the Ask, Seek, Knock, really struck a nerve with me. I actually really struggled a lot during that lesson. I was trying so hard not to cry, and I was sitting in the back, and I was crying, and I was angry, I was upset, and it was just so much. I remember having to go home after church and just pray. Because I was just so, it just really struck a nerve. And I think that Wednesday was so good because all the women in our community group got together and we talked about that particular, that passage, the ask, you seek, you knock. And it was, you know, there was a lot of sisters in the room who'd been disciples 30 years, 40 years. And as everyone was just kind of sharing their story, you start to realize it's so true that there are many kinds of trials and each person is going through their own trial. Their trial may not look like my trial, but they're going through it. You know, one sister was sharing about something she's been praying about for 30 years and it still hasn't gotten answered. And somebody else, you know, their fertility journey and somebody, you know, so it was just really good. It reminded me the power of just testimony and hearing people's stories, because then it makes you feel like, okay, it's just not me. I'm not the only one. But it was good too, because then you heard people share their stories of long stuff that they've gone through and God working through. So it was very faith building. But I think for me, I had to really go back and just say, why am I feeling this way? Why did this? Because it felt like a wound had been reopened, honestly, listening to that sermon. And I had to do a lot of praying, really going back. And I realized that it came back to trust. You know, when you've asked, seeked, and knocked, and you know that that's not it, I have asked, seeked, and knocked, then it gets to a point where it's trust. And I realized that trust is a journey. Trusting God is a journey. And there are going to be times when you're faithful and it's like, yes, I believe God is at work. And then there's other times where you just feel like, I don't really know. But trusting God, making that decision, I'm choosing. It's a choice. And that's what I had to realize. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Because sometimes I want to feel trusting, like, yes, and you just don't. So I had to come back to trust is a decision. It's a choice that I have to make, that I'm going to trust God and obey, even when I don't see, when I don't understand. And so I really had to come back to that. And I had to just really cry out and just really pray. And so I think it has been good because then it helped me refocus on, I need to reengage. Because one of the things that I saw for myself is, you know, there was a time when I prayed the mountain prayers and I believed it. I'm like, God can move mountains and I'm praying that. But as I started to see, as I was just kind of going through, digging through, why am I feeling all of this stuff? I realized my prayers have become very practical. I pray about the practical stuff. God, help me through the day. This person is over here struggling. Okay, God, help them. But I had stopped reengaging my heart in that way and just really praying and believing that God can move mountains. And so I think for me, that has just been one thing. And then I think, and I was like, oh my gosh. And then the last couple of weeks about the narrow road and all of that, it came back to, again, re-engaging my heart, really believing that ministries can change, Bible talks can change, I can change, you know. So I think for me, that was really the takeaway. And I'm so grateful for it. And that was it.
Wow. All right. We're going to try this. So my name is Charles Arnetz, and I'm very grateful to be here, to be able to share. And, you know, for those of you who don't know me, I'm married to a wonderful wife, Lauren, and she's up with our son right now at the Lighthouse with the Youth and Family Service. And I'm a father of five. My daughter, Sarah, jumping up and down the back. And Chloe and Bella and Ashley, and of course my son Carlos, as I mentioned. So, and I'm also a son of my mom Garnet, who's with us and recently baptized. Very excited for that. So I've been super grateful for this in-depth study. What a great opportunity to have time. And I love how Jesus teaches us spiritual truths by using physical things that we can touch and see. And I especially was praying and looking forward for a particular sermon. There was a part of the sermon that has always been hard for me, and it's caused a lot of challenge and confusion, and honestly, it irritated me. There is a scripture that irritated me. Do you ever have those? Okay, it's not just me. So, if we can just be honest about that, right? So that it irritated me, and I prayed for who was going to speak to this. You know, they don't tell us ahead of time who's going to preach it. Looking forward to that. Didn't know who it was going to be. You know, I needed better answers to this scripture than I had gotten myself. But I'll tell you a little bit about what I had learned. And the scripture is, you ready? I needed help with the lilies. The stinking lilies. When you think of Israel, do you think of lilies? No, and maybe that's just me being ignorant, not being there before, but that's not what we think about, right? But they're all over the place, they're beautiful. And so it's interesting to listen to everybody's story today about, and I didn't know what they were gonna share, just about how consistent some of this is. And that we struggle with a lot of the same stuff. But the scripture is about the lilies is powerful. It's a powerful lesson that begins with cutting to the heart of our relationship with money. It starts with money. And it really is ending with the solution, which is seeking first his kingdom. And we've heard that a little bit already from those who shared. And so, but for us, you know, he says things like, I'm sorry, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So before we get started, let's get an example. So, you know, he gives us these examples of things like birds. And now the birds I get, the birds, you know, they're working hard, you know, and so they have issues. You know, they got to get food, but they're working hard. So I understood the birds. But the lilies, why do you pick the lilies? What do lilies do? They do nothing. They don't have a family. They don't have to find a job, right? We stress over a job. They don't have to go gather food. It's just there. It's not there. So, you know, I just like, God, why the lilies? That does not help me at all. It doesn't give me anything. So coming into the sermon, I had picked up, those few things. And one of the things, I read this book, it was great, it's called 1,000 Gifts by Anne Voskamp. And it really helped me with things. It helped me with some things like, you know, are you noticing? Do you see? Are you paying attention to the things that God's putting in front of you? Like the lilies. They're beautiful. They're everywhere. See, right here. So, it made me go a little bit deeper, you know, in the meaning of what it meant by when Jesus said, my yoke is light. I also learned a little bit about, you know, relax a little bit. Stop, you know, I could overcomplicate things. Do you guys do that? I mean, I overthink a lot of things. And my family knows that. Sorry. So I can overthink a lot of stuff. And, you know, I can get really critical of myself. God knows what we need. And he said that. I know I'm not the only person in the world, but sometimes I think God does stuff just for me. I know you think that too. So Kendall Knight was the man. He was the preacher. The day has come. We're going to talk about the sermons. It's exciting. The lilies are going to be talked about. Kendall offered a simple perspective. It was simple. I didn't have to complicate it. He said, just don't be divided. That's what it's talking about. And you know, here's some thoughts that I took away, right? And I want some questions for you to think about from God's perspective, not mine. You know, think about this coming from God. Do you see my spirit working in your creation, in my creation? Do you trust me more than what you see? Are you hoping for things you can see? And who will you trust? We've heard that too. This is not theoretical. It's not theoretical. It's real. It's life. It's what we experience. There's two scenarios you're going to experience. One, life will put you in a place where you have to trust. Where you have to trust to the point you literally are depending on God for stability in your life when everything around you is telling you something different. But what if that doesn't happen? Well, what if you're not in a dire situation? What if you've been really a hardworking person and you've been sure not to get yourself into a situation where you might be at risk? In short, that was it. The lilies. Did you notice? The lilies and the birds are vulnerable. They're vulnerable. And they trust God. Did life make you vulnerable? Does it make you vulnerable at times? Are you vulnerable? You know, if you are in a situation where you're not in dire straits, do you do things to put yourself in a situation where you are having to be vulnerable and rely on God? When you're making, do you trust in something other than yourself, your wealth, and what you can see and what you can do? Are you stepping out on the water? Are you stepping out on the water? Listen, whether it's life circumstances or you taking the step yourself, the water is going to rise. And you got to say, do you trust me? God is asking, do you trust me? Will you choose me? Look, notice, and see the lilies. Kendall shared his story, and you know, I could relate in so many ways. So many ways. What a story. He's gone through a lot, and so have all most of us. You know, I've been tested to where it felt like it was a limit, and I was going to break. And I thought, I cannot handle one more problem. I just can't. I don't know what I'll do. And in some cases, things were dropping off right and left, you know. And so all I had was just to hold on to my faith. So I'd love to share that story with you. Can't do it now. Maybe over a cup of coffee. I love coffee. If you're interested, look me up. But that's what I learned about the lilies. Thank you so much for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for helping me with the lilies. And I have more peace with that. I'm going to pray for communion as we take a minute for that. Father, you are an awesome God. You are a way maker. You continue to impress me more and more, minute over minute, year over year, person after person. You make a way. And God, with you, all things are possible, especially the things we don't see. And help us to see, God. Help us to see like you see. Help us to go beyond what we feel comfortable. Help us to be vulnerable with each other, with the stranger. Help us to love your creation, your people. And help us to notice it when it's right in front of us. God, we thank you for for what Jesus did. He showed us how to do it. He walked with us. And he gave us an example. And Father, right now we take this cup in remembrance of his blood. God, we take the bread in remembrance of his body. Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.